Hello everyone, it's Gabriel here, and today is a pretty good day. I am very close to my lowest, which I hit yesterday. I didn't go much above it today, just half a pound really, and I am at 4:45 actually, and that's definitely a very nice number to see. I mean, getting below 450 really snuck up on me when I really think about it. And today is a bit warmer this morning than it has been in a while, so I'm really looking forward to this walk. I'm really looking forward to getting moving. And today is Tuesday, so after I have a call with some dear friends, I will be heading out to the gym to do my best solo. And I've been having less time with my personal trainer lately because he just had a baby, which is awesome. So I guess I've been figuring things out on my own a bit more than before. And part of this has been where I'm trying to double down on learning really just what I've been trying to focus on already, which is when I'm on my own, I kind of want to like make good use of that time. And the question of like, well, how to do that is surprisingly hard to put into practice. You know, it's very easy to go to a gym and do a couple of, you know, lifts and I guess kind of wing it, I guess is how I'd describe it. Because, you know, in the moment, you don't really feel like you're phoning it in, but I'm like, well, I've lifted heavier than that before. Why did I do so little? Why was it so hard? And so, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about what I want to do in that regard. And I think I need to take a page out of Sumi's How to Become a Mentally Tough Mother Effer, where it's like, yeah, I probably do need to get serious about having a lifting journal where I write down what I'm able to do and compare session to session, week to week, month to month. Because I guess as a little bit of a vanity thing, I do want to continue to put on muscle as much as I can. After a lot of like, I guess, digging into the question, it seems like nobody will explicitly spell out whether you can or can't put on muscle while you're losing weight. And I think a big part of that is just how many people are studying 500-pound people making the journey. And, like, it's almost guaranteed you'll lose some lean body mass on the way down, but there's also newbie gains where, you know, you start lifting and you build a lot of muscle relatively quickly. And so I guess what I'm really trying to say is I want to make the best use of my newbie gains on the way down. And so, yeah, I'd say things have been going pretty well, but I actually read through this guy, Lyle McDonald. He is an expert, but also Sumi Singh's coach. And he wrote the Rapid Fat Loss Handbook that, I'm gonna be honest, if it wasn't so pricey, I would have it already. I know there's a PDF, but like I kind of suck at reading PDFs on my phone. I honestly do better reading an actual book. I think just because of like the limitation of distractions is a factor. So anyways, he wrote a 6-part series that's quite long, I guess I'll warn you. It's worth reading through, in my opinion. But the thing is he outlines advice to a, say, a personal trainer or a coach. Here's how you train an obese beginner. Now, while I've been at this for a couple of months, it's been really cemented to me that I really am still a beginner. Like, I've certainly learned some of the basic movements, I've certainly made progress, but I'm certainly not, you know, intermediate or even, you know, advanced at the whole weightlifting thing. And so one of the things Lyle McDonald explains is that there's this huge temptation on the part of a trainer to kind of like just break the person in the first few sessions. Now I got really lucky. I found a really good personal trainer and I didn't have to worry about that. But I really underestimated how prevalent it was for basically a trainer to kind of push someone so hard they puke as a way of showing, yeah, I can really get you moving. But as Lyle explains, when you're a beginner, like any kind of beginner, but especially an obese one, you have this problem where your ability to do basic movements like someone like a trainer, but honestly anyone, would take for granted, you know, those can be really hard and really challenging for someone who's quite big. And like, to me, the most obvious manifestation of that was the fact that when I was starting out, getting up off the floor on my own was not something I could accomplish, and now I can do quite regularly. And so it's interesting because Lyle does recommend a slightly different approach than what, you know, we had ended up doing, where he is more in favor of starting out on machines, whereas I was honestly mostly concerned about mobility. And that's what I was kind of telling my trainer. It's like, hey, I want to build up this mobility because I have problems. And so maybe I'm more far gone than your average obese individual. You know, somebody who's obese may not have all the same mobility constraints that I had starting out. Just one thing to consider. But the thing is he really emphasized in that series that when you're starting out as any beginner, but again, especially an obese person, you kind of have to like train so you can train. You have to get, you know, the cardiovascular capacity to actually do intense workouts. And then on top of that, you basically need the ability to like learn how to do the movements properly. Because this is something I hadn't quite considered, but most of the like, let's just say low-hanging fruit strength gains are actually just learning how to like use your body to do the movements. Because it's kind of intuitive, but like if you've never tried something, your brain doesn't automatically know how to do it efficiently. And so it's really just practice at that point. Like there's this, I guess I would say like first chunk where like most of your progress starting out, as far as I can understand it, is just getting more practice at the exercise. Once you are at that point, then you can truly begin to start progressing. Now, what was fascinating to me is that, you know, for the last couple of months, I've been like really, I guess, worrying too much about the small stuff. And I guess I'm learning that it's more small stuff than I had thought. Because the greatest factor in muscle growth is the stimulus you provide those muscles to grow. So here I was worrying about getting enough protein. Here I was worrying about like, oh, you know, how am I gonna rest? You know, all this kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter was, I didn't truly recognize how much my own cardiovascular capacity was a limiting factor, and my own inexperience with just the basic movements was something that has been and probably will still hold me back for a bit. And so the thing is that the important part is that as you get decent practice working on these things, you're supposed to kind of move you know your effort towards failure. Now there's a debate about how far you want to go from failure. I'm not touching that today. I'm just talking about you want to move in that direction as you get more intense into weightlifting. And I'll be honest, I'm really struggling to put that into practice because, you know, I'm very much at this point where it's like I start an exercise and it's like going, but it's like it's not obvious to me what the limitations actually are, I guess, because like some things are too much, but I'm like, is this enough? And it's not, again, it's not obvious to me at all. And I think that the more I think about that, I think it's a sign that I'm not practiced enough in the movement to properly select weights, because right now I'm kind of rummaging about how do I actually strengthen my biceps. And it's like, yeah, I can grab dumbbells of various weights and like do it, but it's like for some things it feels like doing a higher weight makes me, you know, the form breaks down. Like, I stop moving in the correct way. I'm like, well, that's probably too high. But then the other stuff feels like it's too easy then, because you're supposed to generally aim towards 8 to 12 reps. But I'm thinking, the more I think about it, maybe I should just aim for practicing with a lower weight, because that's what I did with kettlebell swings. You know, I was introduced to kettlebell swings, and I was like, these things are the worst. Why would anyone do them? And then I looked into it. I'm like, there are a ton of benefits. That's why they matter. And so it's one of the exercises I've kind of been focusing on, you know, significantly since then. And the way I got good at them was I bought a, you know, pretty low weight, like a lot less weight than I could have handled at the time. And I practiced, you know, the 100 kettlebell swings a day on that thing. And so I'm thinking I might need to consider the advantages of just simply practicing with lower weights to get the movement down pat for some of these new techniques that are way, I guess, way too complicated for me to biomechanically accomplish. And that's the thing I really find fascinating about this journey, is that I'm kind of like realizing that I'm still very out of touch with how the body actually works. Now, I guess some people would argue, well, how functional are all these movements really? If Gabriel just wants big biceps, bicep curls probably do not magically translate into all different endeavors of life, but I'm sure it still matters a bit. In fact, the king of functional exercises, as far as I'm aware, is carries, especially one-sided carries. And I've been working on those quite a bit, just because it was certainly nice to get to the point where moving 30-pound dumbbell across the gym felt hard. And now I've got to the point where I can do that with a 70-pound dumbbell. And it was funny because I was telling my trainer that it's like, oh, if I can hold on to a 70-pound dumbbell, I surely must be able to curl it. But no. Those are not the same thing at all. I could barely curl 30-pound dumbbells at this point. And yeah, it's just like all these little things to learn, I guess. And I don't know. It's finally at the point where, as I've been starting out, weightlifting was very alien to me. It's not something I had dabbled in seriously at all. But now I'm kind of excited as the weight loss is really coming along, and I'm now at the point where I feel like I can learn enough to get serious about this. I'm really just hoping I can figure out how to push myself to actual failure, because it seems like that's something that's actually objectively hard to do. Because I saw a video where somebody was explaining that many people who think they're doing it aren't doing it. And again, it's like, the people debate the merits of getting to that point, but you should still be close enough that you can actually accomplish getting to that point, theoretically, okay? And so my biggest problem, honestly, is when I'm doing, honestly, it's not even just weightlifting, it's even cardio. Like, when I'm swimming laps in the pool, I get this overriding mental sense, I have to stop. And it's like, I think part of it is just out of like that comfort zone, where like my body's used to a certain, like, very little level of exertion. And so the moment I start taxing it a little bit, the body's like, hey, what's going on here? You need to stop. I don't know. Or maybe it's all mental. I'm certainly no expert on this stuff, but I'm trying bit by bit to really, really push that as hard as I can. So part of what I'm doing is I am going to start bringing a weightlifting journal to at least maybe one of my sessions a week. Like, I probably won't go crazy about it. Maybe I'll have it on me, and we'll see how it ends up. But I would like to, at least on a semi-regular basis, record what I'm able to do and compare that over time. Because I'll admit, I'm kind of like confused about how I really want to get stronger, because there's so many different lifts, and it's like, if I was put on the spot right now, it's like, okay, Gabriel, list everything you should do in a full body workout, and I'd kind of just be like, And so I think, if nothing else, writing down a workout plan that I would then record what I actually accomplish in might alone be a significant benefit to getting stronger. That said, even as I flail around, realizing that I'm certainly not being optimal in many of the things that I'm trying in this category, I am certainly feeling stronger, I'm feeling more capable, and if nothing else, walking is like a ton easier, which I know has something to do with the 130 pounds I'm down now. And it's funny because I'm still so incredibly big. Like, I see the difference, but like, I'm also like, well, I'm still fat, you know, does it really matter? But like, I can honestly attest that the lifestyle changes of going down this weight alone are pretty significant. And I am very grateful for the mobility progress and the strength progress so far, because I think I am way more capable at this size than the last time I was at this size. Speaking of being this size before, I think 450 is like the weight I kind of considered normal for me, which sounds crazy to anyone who's a normal weight, I'm sure, but it's like I spent a long time at this weight level, and so the idea of being below 400 honestly feels a little crazy to me. It's like that's something I may be able to accomplish in the next 2 or 3 months, especially if I start losing weight faster as the warmth comes back. I don't know, it's gonna be daunting to have a weight that starts with a 3, considering it wasn't that long ago my weight started with a 5. Like, that's kind of insane. And it's like, I was on the far half of 500 too. Like, I don't know. On the day-to-day, I'm so frustrated at how slow weight loss is. But when I think back even a couple of months, it's like, wow, things really have changed radically. And I guess maybe I am trying to learn patience with this process. The thing is, though, is I started realizing, hey, you know, I've lost a significant amount of weight. I may as well try on some of my old clothes, because I got a shirt from the gym when I signed up, because I was the 46th person who signed up right as the gym opened out of 50. And so I got one of the first couple of shirts, but the sizes only went to 4X. And at the time I was wearing a 6X, and I know every like different shirt company, you know, varies their sizing. Like, one shirt's 4X is a different shirt size. So I was very pessimistic about its ability to fit anytime soon. But recently, just the other week, I actually wore it to my personal training session, and it felt great. It felt great to be in a smaller shirt that, to be honest, I had no expectations of fitting into so quickly. And so, as an extension of that, I have a whole lot of the clothes lying around from when I was, you know, still big, but not as big as I was at my highest. I'm like, well, maybe it's time to try on some of those. And I will honestly admit to you that that was a very emotional experience, because when you're not just getting too big for your clothes, but like you become desensitized to being too big to your clothes, there's some kind of tricky feelings mixed up into that. Because I remember buying clothes was always such a weird thing, because as I was getting bigger and bigger, it's gonna sound kind of weird here, but I kind of knew when I was buying clothes, I'm like, I'm just gonna fill these up and have to buy new ones later. And so, honestly, getting bigger was a profoundly uncomfortable experience, because every kind of step along the way, things just kind of got worse and worse, and like that kind of weird guilt kind of just kept piling on. And that certainly helped with not wanting to face it. It's like, oh, well, you know, if I just stop thinking about this, it'll it'll work itself out, right? Well, no, it didn't. And so anyways, I tried on some of the clothes that, like, the last time I was like in that range, I guess, you know, they weren't very comfortable. They wouldn't really fit at all. And to be honest, as I held them, in my hands, it's like I didn't really feel any different from my highest. And so it was a real concrete sign that I've actually come a long way, that I could fit back into clothes that I haven't worn for at least a couple of years now. And I remember the very quite well the frustrating experience of like, oh, this isn't fitting anymore, this is getting too tight, all those kinds of things. So it really was quite phenomenal to finally fit into some smaller stuff. And it's like, I'm gonna be really ready for springtime because I have a whole lot of shorts now that I can wear once it's warmer. And I gotta be honest, like some of them, I remember buying thinking they would fit, and then, you know, they didn't. You know, they're too small, even though they're within the size I was at the time. So it's like, I've really come such a long way in reversing years of damage, and that makes me very happy, honestly. Like, it's, I can't describe the joy of fitting into something that I had no expectation that I would. And it's like, there's some memories with some of this stuff, you know, like I was wearing some of these clothes for a certain period of my life, and it's like, it kind of really hit me just how long ago that really was. Because if you're, you know, living day to day, kind of ignoring the weight gain as it happens, you know, it's like you kind of just feel like, oh, that was just yesterday. But it wasn't. It certainly wasn't yesterday. Years had gone by. And so honestly, I'm expecting it to get so much more emotional as I get into even some of the smaller clothes that I have. Because I actually have kind of kept my clothes from at least like the last decade, oddly enough. I mean, honestly, with the insanity of the last 5 years, I'm going to be honest, the last 5 years passed way too quickly. To me, it certainly felt like a blink of an eye. And that's kind of why I'm really happy that I am able to lose the weight as quickly as I am, because it's kind of at the point where I'm like, this is kind of going to be over before I know it. I've been trying to just kind of like whip out my phone and record short little vlogs to myself, honestly, because it's like, I kind of feel like I'm running out of time to document being this big. It's like, oh shoot. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm going to be overweight for quite some time. Like, even once I get below 300, I am fully expecting those pounds to come off a lot slower than before. But the way this kind of all fits together is that I'm kind of at the point now where I'm more confident in my ability to kind of deal with this process. Like, I was so far gone that diet was honestly like not even just 90, but probably 95% of what I needed to focus on. And I'm feeling good about the fact that as I'm getting down in weight, I'm getting better at physical fitness. So I will be able to also use exercise to help maintain the weight. But that requires me to build up the cardiovascular capacity. How this relates to clothes is like, I know as I approach my goal weight, I will be going through sizes like crazy. And it's like, I don't know, I probably won't mind wearing things that are just too big, because it's like, that'll be the reality for quite some time. One of the things I'm kind of excited for is that currently my cardiovascular capacity is not so strong that I'm able to really burn a lot of calories through exercise. And accepting that is kind of hard, because I grew up incredibly active and I kind of like kept pushing that button until it stopped working. And I'm like, well, why isn't it working? And then I eventually just decided that it was unfixable, which is kind of silly considering not only was I ignoring half of the equation, but I was arguably ignoring the more important part of the equation. So all in all, things are going incredibly well. I am not on track to hit my yearly target at the moment, but that I fully expected. If I lose more weight this March than I did in February, I will know I am getting back on track for that target. Because if my chart is anything to go by, it is objectively harder for me to lose weight during winter. And so I am very excited to prove myself once winter is over. And of course, I am pushing as hard as I can lately, because that's really just what I'm trying to do, is I'm really trying to lose as quickly as I can sustain. And I guess that's the other thing. I had somebody, a kind friend of a friend, sent me an interview where somebody discusses, I guess, long-term fasting for dealing with loose skin. And I don't know, color me a bit skeptical. I'm not saying that longer-term fasting doesn't have benefits, but I'm already starting to see my belly look deflated. So like, it's kind of at the point where I am only beginning to realize that the amount of loose skin I'm going to have is immense. There's going to be quite a bit of loose skin, especially around my belly, especially on my pecs, so to speak. And I'm already getting some arm flaps, you know, when I move my elbows a bit, I can really feel it slapping against the skin and it makes the noise. Like, loose skin is going to be my reality. And as I said, I'm kind of skeptical of claims that, you know, longer term fasting will truly address it. Because if somebody's merely overweight, and let's just say they're relatively young, the loose skin kind of does work itself out over time. And so I really wonder if it's really a function of the fasting versus time. Because you can't take one person, quantum clone them, and then have them do different paths at the same time. It's like, you really only have one timeline. And I don't know, loose skin is something, as far as I understand it, I wouldn't say unpredictable, but at least on the individual person, without knowing so much about them, it seems like a shot in the dark. And the other side of this equation is I'm pretty pessimistic about the benefits of fasting throughout this process, simply because I have to do this for so long. It would be bad shit insane to try to fast all the way down to my goal weight, because it's like, look, this is gonna take me at least another 2 years to get to where I need to be. And the idea that you're gonna throw out any good nutrition for that period of time without negative consequences, I'm like, that sounds like a problem. Now, you can do shorter term fasts. Like, I've seen people talk about doing fasting for like maybe a week and those kinds of things. And my current record for fasting is a single calendar day I'm not eating. So I'm not talking about intermittent fasting where you just don't eat till the next day, which is actually what I've been doing for quite a bit recently. But I'm talking about like, you eat on day one, you don't eat on day two, and then you eat again on day three. That's what I mean by a full calendar day of fasting. And so that I was able to accomplish, but I'll admit it was relatively unique with the flow I'm kind of working with, because one of the things I've recently run into is that my hunger signal, my hunger signals are certainly not conquered. Because one of the things I learned recently is that it is ideal to split your protein throughout the day. Because if your goal is for your body to use the protein you ingest to build muscle, dumping it all on your body at a single moment isn't really going to help you. Because, as far as I understand it, the body will convert a certain amount of that protein into muscle, but then because it can only do so much in the time it takes you to digest, a lot of the extra protein gets turned into just energy. Like, it's burned for calories to fuel your brain and other stuff. So the logic is, if you evenly distribute the protein you intake on any given day throughout the day, you'll have better results. Now, this complicates things for me for two reasons. One, because part of the reason I decided to start having a single meal a day was because just planning and logistics, it was easier. Like, oh, Gabriel buys, you know, X much chicken and X much veggies and makes them for dinner. You total all the calories and ta-da, you're done for the day. Why even worry? Because I felt like once I got into the groove of that I had conquered my eating signals. I'm like, I can do this, you know? It's just one meal a day and I plan it out and I have like made progress, and that is substantial progress from where I used to be. But I noticed the other advantage of doing it that way is that it was way easier to count, you know, the calories, because if you're only having one meal, you can be more meticulous about what goes into it and you plan it out. But the problem I ran into is I'm like, well, if I'm supposed to have multiple meals per day, how am I going to handle portion control, as in trying not to go overboard with more opportunities to go overboard? And how am I also going to handle, because this is something that surprised me, is that as I started dividing my meals up throughout the day, man, those hunger signals come with a vengeance. I can honestly say I was astounded at how much more hungry I felt, because when I was having one meal a day, it wasn't that big a deal, honestly. Like I said, I was able to fast an entire day after doing that for a bit, and that felt like, yeah, I've conquered my hunger. But now that I've gotten to the point where I'm, you know, maybe 2 weeks into splitting up my meals, it's like now I'm at the point where I'm literally counting down the minutes till the next meal. And you know what they say, you know, you don't want to go to a grocery store when you're hungry. And it's like, you know, how am I gonna plan each of my meals when, like, minute to minute, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hungry, this is terrible. And it's funny because this makes so much sense the more I think about it, because I know it's anecdotal, but I feel like I've kind of proven it true in some limited sense to myself, because obviously, if more of the protein is being used for muscle building rather than energy, you are going to dip more into your fat stores. You are going to feel more hungry. And it's fascinating to me how much of a radical change it really was. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm working on at the moment, is I'm like, okay, I've got to at least have a protein shake when I wake up, because most days it's pretty hard for me to, like, honestly be alert and doing things in the morning. Although I'm glad to at least be awake in the mornings now. But yeah, so I start with a protein shake in the morning. And one of the things I've kind of been doing is, so around lunchtime, I make what I would have made anyways for, you know, the day, but then I save half of it for later. So I'm kind of forcing myself to learn portion control, in the sense that when I am making something, I'm not just making it for that moment, I'm also making it for later that day or the day after, those kinds of things. And I found that pretty helpful. The problem is, I will admit, it certainly does detract from the joy of eating. And I guess, you know, this is something where I'm realizing that, like, the fact that I get so much comfort out of sitting there and having a large meal is kind of my Achilles heel in this entire process. And so I'm looking forward to the fact that as I solidify this habit of trying to split up meals, trying to eat, you know, more regularly throughout the day, there's going to be more dividends from that alone. And I will say, I think the combination of all the things I've been working on these last couple of months, I think are absolutely gonna put me in a really good position to hit my yearly goal of 200 pounds down throughout 2025. And the good news is, I'm not even that far behind. I lost like 13 pounds in January and like 15 pounds in February. And so like if you just round that down to about 12 pounds a month, 12 times 12 is 144. I really only have to find another 56, 54 pounds of extra weight loss throughout the year if this is the worst I'm gonna do throughout the year. Which I'm hoping is the case. I'm hoping that it's not like during the summer I'm like, no, I wanna play so many video games or whatever. I mean, that's not the plan. But I don't know. I'm honestly feeling really good about what I'm accomplishing, how this is all going, how much stronger I feel. You know, it was funny. I did a big walk, the walk I'm on now. I'm like, wow, it's only been, you know, around half an hour since I started. I'm like, well, that's crazy, because this walk used to take so much longer. I think it's just a function of I'm getting better at walking. Walking quicker is no longer the, you know, intense challenge it used to be. And it's funny because I'm not sure how I want to deal with that, because, you know, what a lot of people do when they want to make walking more of an intense exercise is they'll buy rucking plates or fill up a backpack with water bottles and just carry the extra weight while walking. And it's funny to me because as somebody who's already carrying so much weight, I'm arguably rucking by default. Everything I do is rucking in one form or another. But it's like, I'm already at the point where I feel like walking long periods of time, like for an hour, isn't really that big a deal. And so, beyond going to the gym, I'm honestly wondering how I want to deal with that. I think part of it is I'll just have a heavier everyday carry. So like when I bring a backpack to the gym, I'll make sure there's a water bottle filled with water in it, and like there you go, you've got your rucking dealt with. Because like I think a liter is like 2.5 pounds anyway, so like yeah, you can play around with however many liters of liquid you want to carry around everywhere. One of the things I'm kind of looking forward to is that because I've been producing video content on a semi-regular basis for the Liber Solutions Network, my digital freedom passion project, I fully expect people to like notice the changes after they get really intense. Like for example, if I do make this 200 pounds down in the year, it'll be fascinating to see if anyone comments, wow, you really lost weight, you know, it's the kind of thing. Because even when I look at my own videos, I notice the difference already. And so who knows, maybe some of my longer term but not so consistent fans will be like, dude, what happened? I don't know. It's kind of crazy how everything is going. And I'm really happy about all of it. Like, I'm really happy that exercise is something that I am able to get better at. I am so grateful that our bodies were made to burn fat and that you're not just stuck with it forever. I mean, there are many things you can do to your body that are permanent. And yeah, there are permanent consequences to getting this big. But I am so glad that the quality of life increases I've been able to get just from losing these last 130 pounds are going to get even better as I lose the next bit of pounds. I fully expect once I'm below 400, that's when the crazy changes really start to feel real. Because my twin brother is actually, you know, he's been stuck at around 300 pounds for quite some time. Though I believe he's been making good progress getting below it recently. But like he works a physical job. He spent a lot of time in mold remediation. Now I think he's doing more general handyman work. And believe me, he makes it clear to me that it is not easy. It is not easy at all to work a physical job at 300 pounds. I'm sure many people are like, how do you even do that? And I'm like, well, you know, you kind of just build that up over time. He works a physical job at 300, and I think that just being more within reach for me will feel crazy gratifying. You know, I'm fully optimistic about the fact that I'll be able to bike this year, and that's something, I'm gonna be honest with you, before I started this process, as I was like wrestling with, can I even do this, I was really worried I never would bike again. That was a big deal. You know, it's been so long that I was really scared that I just would never be able to successfully turn things around to go biking. And that's where I get kind of excited, in the sense that now that I am getting more active, I'll be able to be a better cyclist than I ever was by really focusing on the training. And that'll also make me feel a whole lot better. But I know that first bike ride is going to be emotional as F. I mean, I am gonna have to get the bike that I have looked at, because I'll certainly need to replace the brakes that I wore out last time I was on it. And I'll certainly want to, you know, just make sure the chain isn't too rusted and stuff like that. But I am so excited to get moving fast again. Cause I'll say, what I miss the most about biking is the freedom of being able to move around places quickly. Longer commutes feel more in reach. And even when I was quite heavy, you know, because that was my entire cope all the way up. You know, I was staying as active as I could until it basically was no longer an option. And the thing was that I would regularly do, you know, even 2-hour bike rides to get to work and such, because there was this point where I lived, you know, a good bus ride away from where I was working at the time. And it's funny because if you look at like Google Maps or the transit planners, biking often takes the same time as busing in this city for reasonable distances. Probably not true anymore, but there have been some changes that I think you wouldn't do quite as well. But the gist of it really is I'm feeling good about the fact that, I don't know, I can be able to make longer commutes as I get down in size. I'm no longer rucking so much all the time. Oh, I'm feeling the chilly though. I'm only wearing a thick sweater for this walk because it's pretty close to zero. And I don't know, I wanted to tough it out a little bit. And now I'm beginning to feel the coldness. And so I'm looking forward to getting home. Originally, the plan was to kind of walk a little bit longer, but I don't know. I'm gonna chicken out already, I guess, at this point. I mean, I am gonna be going to the gym later, so this is really just a warm-up or an extra little calorie burn, what I can work in. I definitely need to spend time getting videos of me at this size in general. I regretted not doing that more at 500, and I'm gonna be honest, the 400s are kind of like getting past me. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I certainly expected to be in the 400s longer, and I'm already halfway down, and it really probably will be only 2 or 3 months until I'm below it. It's absolutely wild to think about. And so I guess my focus over the course of this process is I really need to double down on building my cardiovascular capacity throughout this process, because my hope is that I can offset. The diet is only so hard as how hard it is to achieve, you know, the calorie deficit. And so the thing is that when you're pretty large, like when you're as huge as I was at 570 pounds, diet does most of that. Partially because you need to get it under control in the first place, but like there's a lot of like low-hanging fruit in that category. But the problem with being obese and not very fit is that you can't burn many calories through exercise. But as you build up that capacity, thanks to Lyle McDonald's post, he explains that you will eventually be able to burn more calories. The thing is as you get smaller, all those basic activities you're doing to burn calories become less challenging. You know, you have to do more, you have to do more, you have to do more. And so, not only that, but like, because your body is no longer as big, calories you consume just by existing goes down. And so, my hope is that I can raise my fitness capacity in the amount that can at least account for the reduction in energy consumed by getting smaller. It's funny, I'm definitely slowing down at this point. You know, when I started walking, I was going pretty quickly, but now it's like, it slowed down a little bit, which is kind of tough because I kind of do need to rush home a little bit. But I don't know, it's a good day. Progress is coming along quite nicely, and I'm feeling good about this process. Although I am learning that I'm still very far away from where I'd like to be. You know, it is hard to face the fact that, oh, I'm still big. Oh, I'm still not, you know, great at training yet. But I guess you could say I'm beginning to love the journey. I am beginning to appreciate that these are things I will, or at least can, get better at, and that there is growth potential. And so I'm really looking forward to the changes up ahead. I will say it's a bit wild. It's very taxing, physically, emotionally, mentally even. As somebody who's like, you know, putting a big chunk of his brain power into this whole weight loss process, it's really kind of revealing to me how much rebuilding a functional human life does take a lot of effort. You know, it's like I'm not just tackling the weight, I am tackling a constellation of other issues. And I guess one of the ways I'm kind of thinking about this is that by getting in better shape, I am investing in becoming more productive, because I spent so long sacrificing health for productivity, whatever that even means. In hindsight, it wasn't very productive. But the thing is that now I'm at the point where I basically have no choice but to focus on all the basics I neglected if I ever want to be productive again. And so I will say that's a big part of the pressure, because it's not like I can like say, okay, well, I can walk now, so I'm just gonna stick with this and that'll be good enough for me, because I know that the desire and the ease in which I'll be able to slip into old habits will be phenomenally easy, especially with a little bit of pressure. If I made the mistake of rushing in to a high pressure job and neglected to properly spend the time preparing the basics, I would be in a lot of trouble in that scenario. I'm actually not convinced I'd be able to lose weight at all in that environment. And so a big part of what I'm trying to do throughout this process, and I'm keenly aware of, is I need to build myself up so that I can take care of the basics even when things are hard, even when things are stressful, even when I don't know how I can do anything. Because I've learned the hard way that neglecting taking care of yourself on really basic and fundamental ways really does bite you in some pretty nasty, terrifying, and really just downright horrifying ways. And so that's part of the reason why my current exercise schedule, pushing myself to do 5 outside active days a week, is as intense as it is. I'm sure I could still lose weight quickly without it. I'm sure I could still make remarkable progress just doing my personal training sessions and working more on my passion projects. But the fact of the matter is that I want to create, or at least simulate, a high pressure, time constrained environment for myself so I can get used to taking care of the basics when I feel like I have no time, when I feel like I can't do much, so that as that frees up more of my time, things will be a great deal better. And part of, you know, a basic example of that is that right now, by splitting up my meals and cooking them once, I'm doing a very basic form of meal prepping on a regular basis now. And I would like to, you know, say I was fit enough that I could get a job and I could expand my budget for these things and make better investments in these spaces. One of the things I'm looking forward to do is say I'm fit enough that I can go bike and I can go to the grocery store and grab a bunch of stuff and then spend time preparing it, divvying it up, creating portions, all that nonsense. I mean, a big part of what I'm trying to do right now is enhance my domestic capabilities because, I don't know, I feel like that's just life at this point. I've still got quite a long ways to go, but I'm feeling good about where I'm at. I'm a little upset about not being able to train to failure and not being as active and fit as I would like to be, but I'm optimistic that I can actually make progress in that direction. So that's really everything for me. I hope you're all doing well. If you have any thoughts, questions, suggestions, or even, you know, reflections on anything I've said or you've been thinking about, by all means, I'm all ears. I'm certainly no expert. I'm just figuring this out as I go. But I'm really excited. I am very excited for this year. I'm a sixth of it down, and I think I'm through the worst of it. So I'm really, really looking forward to warmer weather and making impressive progress, because I think I will be able to impress many people as I get through this. Thank you so much for listening. Your attention, your feedback, your kindness and encouragement really does mean a great deal. And so I wish you all an excellent day.